Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Who found a better way to mortgage that you can focus on making your new house your home. Rockin' Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Al Horford's going to join us. One of the newest members of the Philadelphia 76ers as Philly comes into the season with huge expectations. He'll join us coming up in about 17 minutes from now. But our next guest is a member of the CBS Sports Network. He's a play-by-play announcer and studio host. And this week, he hosts the College Football Halftime Show on the CBS Sports Network, as well as Inside College Football. And this week in the SEC, LSU and Mississippi State, the 3:30 Eastern kick on CBS. My friend Brent Stover. Brent, good morning. How we doing?
Oh, D.A., how are you doing? I told you next time we did it together, I would come down and be there in person. So I apologize, and I'm not sitting across from you right now.
Brent, you broke my heart, and I shall never trust you ever again.
You got the best name in sports, by the way. I mean, you sound like a little switch-hitting center fielder that can track it down in the alleys, and a little flat hitter that can steal a bag or two from time to time.
I'll take that as a compliment. Brent Stover. Brent Stover joining us this morning on the show to talk some college football. So we started the SEC with what happened to Georgia. They were a huge favorite at home against South Carolina and laid an egg. What does that tell us about Georgia's playoff potential down the road?
It means they have zero room for error. I still think if they win out and they win in the SEC title game, they will make the college football playoff. Even though that one loss is going to not look good. A team like Oregon, if they were to win out, win the Pac-12, their only loss is against Auburn. If Georgia wins out, wins the SEC, their only loss is South Carolina. Clearly the South Carolina loss is worse than Oregon's, but I still think because they would have more quality wins than a team like Oregon. And this is just a comparison of those two. You know how this thing works. Down the next month and a half, there's going to be a million comparisons matching up one team with the next. But I still think Georgia can make the college football playoff. They got to win out. But the bigger issue is, yeah, how do you lose at home to South Carolina? Certainly, they've got to shore some things up. And I think perhaps this offense isn't quite as good as we thought it was.
It's usually, can LSU match up with Alabama? But this year, is it fair to ask whether Alabama defensively can match up with the LSU offense?
That's absolutely the question. The back end of the Alabama defense, and again, we're splitting hairs when you're talking about an unbeaten team that's one of the best teams in the country again and number two right now. But if you were splitting hairs, there are some issues at the back end of that defense, and they have given up big plays, and they have given up some points and a lot of yardage in games. That said, there's a lot of factors. I mean, South Carolina played them tough. That was the narrative coming out of that game. And what was the final score? Alabama 47 and South Carolina 23. So that kind of tells you where we're at right now. Also, they've gotten off to some slow starts in this game, some of these games. They're down 10-7 early to Ole Miss. They were down early in the first quarter this past weekend, but they always end up beating these teams by three or four touchdowns. But Joe Burrow at 80% right now and against one of the nation's best defenses in Florida going 21-24 for about 300 yards and a couple of touchdowns, that should serve notice. And with guys like Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson on the outside, and if they get Terrace Marshall back healthy, they've got some weapons at wide receiver. Not quite as good as Alabama's receivers, but weapons at wide receiver certainly to put up some yardage and some points against that Alabama defense, I think.
Isn't it rare that Coach Ogeron is willing to cede control and credit to his coordinators? That's not normally how this thing works. How much of that is kind of a secret ingredient in LSU's success?
It's huge. I mean, the way they played before, they would win games, but they weren't a national title contender team, and they weren't all that sexy to watch, quite frankly, because it was still the 3 yards, old school college football 3 yards and clouded dust and ground and pound, and my offensive line can move you off the ball. And he's had to make changes with the rest of college football. I mean, Nick Saban, to an extent, has had to do some things differently as well, and he's the best coach in the country and maybe the best we've ever had in the sport. But I think Orgeron, given the control to Brady, and what we're finding out is Joe Burrow is a completely different quarterback than what we saw last year. And when you allow this guy, let go of the reins and let him go a little bit, all of a sudden he's completing 80% instead of about 55%. And a lot of these throws are downfield and stretching the field and over the top. These aren't a bunch of checkdowns and short passes in the flat. Brady gets all the credit in the world for what Burrow is doing right now and how they have unleashed these weapons on the outside.
Brent Stover joins us this morning from CBS Sports Network to talk some college football. So when it comes to the bigger picture here, let's look at Clemson as well, because I was actually down in Clemson over the weekend and watched them throttle Florida State. And I'm sitting there going, gosh, I mean, this used to be the de facto ACC championship game, and now it's not a fair fight. In the ACC, there isn't really a second-best team. Do you find it more jarring that FSU's this far down, Miami's this far down, or Va-Tech's this far down?
Florida State, because I thought Willie Taggart was a perfect fit down there. And sure enough, he comes in the first year, that 36 straight bowl, a season streak comes to an end. They've been lost at quarterback. Blackman, Hornibrook, I don't know that either one is the answer. And they've got so much talent on that team, and the fact that they've been unable to collect wins is befuddling. And I love Willie. Willie Taggart is one of the best humans in the sport. And you want a CEO and a face of your program, Willie Taggart is the guy. And he did a good job getting things turned around at Western Kentucky, USF. He had that brief stint at Oregon. When he went to Florida State, it seemed like the perfect match and the dream job for him to come back there to his roots. And I cannot figure out for the life of me why they are so down. And I think it's going to hurt Clemson a little bit. Clemson cannot afford any losses. I thought Virginia was a pretty good team. They go out and lay an egg and looked bad doing it last Friday against Miami. I thought Wake was really good. And like one of the untold stories of the season, Jamie Newman, this kid, 8-1 as a starting quarterback. And then they go out and give up 62 points to a very mediocre Louisville team. It is literally Clemson and then everybody else. And even in the ACC title game, like, who are they going to play across the division? And does it really matter? There is just nothing down the last half of this season on their schedule right now.
It's weird to credit any defense in a 34-27 game, but I think in the Red River Showdown, I mean, OU's defense did stop Ellinger a number of times, force him into bad decisions and turnovers. And I think in the Big 12, holding somebody to 27 points actually does look like a success. What's the more impressive defensive effort from Saturday? Is it OU over Texas, or is it what Penn State did at Iowa?
I think it's Oklahoma. And Penn State's defense is top five in the nation. But Iowa's offense is spotty. I mean, Stanley's a pretty good quarterback, but doesn't have a ton to work with in terms of skill players. So I think this one's an easy answer with Oklahoma. Sam Ehlinger has been having a really good season and prolific if you look at the numbers. They held him to a season-low 210 yards through the air, and they had 9 sacks in that game. When was the last time an Oklahoma team had 9 sacks in a game? I mean, they're getting after the quarterback. They're bend but don't break, but so is everybody else seemingly in college football without the very, you know, when you get outside the top elite 4 or 5 defenses, that's the way college football is now. Bend, don't break. And I thought, yeah, for them to only give up 27 and to shut down Ellinger the way he hasn't been shut down this season, I thought that was really impressive. And you got to talk about Oklahoma as a national title contender. And you're talking about them as an offense and a defense this year, and that's different than normal.
This weekend, LSU is in Stark, Vegas to take on Mississippi State. That's the 3:30 Eastern kick for the SEC on CBS on Saturday. Brent Stover, he's going to be hosting College Football Halftime Show on CBS Sports Network, as well as the Inside College Football this week of the SEC as well. Brent, my man, it is awesome to catch up, have you on the show. Next time we will do this in person. I'm holding you to it, but we'll do it here soon.
I'll bring the donuts. Thanks, DA. Appreciate
okay,
you.
You got it, man. Brent Stover joining us this morning on the show. Last night, we have a team punching its ticket to the World Series, the Washington Nationals. First ever trip for them as a franchise. And I really do believe there's something to losing Bryce Harper and then doing this. I think there was a hangover effect on the Nationals. You saw that with how they began the season. You take a bat out of the lineup like that. You take the star, the face of the franchise out of it like that. And there was a swoon. They were 12 games under 500. But I think the benefit is when you start learning how to play without the guy that sucks up all the oxygen that maybe you're relying on for big hits, maybe you're waiting around waiting for him to hit the home run, everyone starts doing a little bit more. And it's now a team that's far more dependent on timely hitting and great starting pitching than watching Bryce Harper do great things. And I actually like Bryce Harper's game. I just thought he was fugazi and fraudulent and how he tried to desperately fit into Philadelphia, and it was just so artificial. But this Nats team is actually better without him, which is crazy to say, but it is, because everybody else is filled in around him and they're far more balanced. They understand their roles, and I think they took every single day after that 12 under start really seriously. And it sounds very trite and cliche, but the fact that Dave Martinez said, we got to go 1-0 every single day, I think they took to heart. And the way that they're playing now in the postseason, I never saw it coming. I did not think that the Dodgers were going to have much problems with the Nats or whoever came out of that wild card game. And look where we are now. I mean, now the Cardinals were just buzzsawed, and the Cardinals were not actually a very good team. A much better NLCS would have been another two games between the Dodgers and the Nats. But credit the Nats for doing what they're doing from where they were. And I do think a part of this is having lost Bryce Harper. When we come back here on the show, five-time NBA All-Star Al Horford. Big expectations for the Sixers. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Your Nomad series is just amazing. And if you've never been down there, what an amazing experience. That's just one of the most amazing college football settings and just one of the most amazing, beautiful colleges around.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sunday, the NFL on CBS is at Lambeau with the Packers hosting the Raiders, plus a key AFC South clash between Houston and Indy. It all begins with JB and the guys getting you ready for all the action on the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. And there is a brand new episode of Nomad, my digital travel series, available on YouTube right now after my trip down to Clemson. Awesome experience. You can check that out by simply searching my name and Nomad on YouTube. Also, we'll post that to all the social media channels as well. Our next guest is going into his first season in Philadelphia. Big expectations with the 76ers. He comes out of a team with the Boston Celtics that were geared up for NBA Finals as well, and now hits another town looking to claim a first championship in a long time. Five-time NBA All-Star Al Horford, our guest this morning on the show. Al, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing well.
Thanks so much for joining us. And Boston is a place with intense expectations. So is Philadelphia. Do you feel a similarity between those two sports towns?
Yes. Yeah, I do see similarities. You know, the passion from the fans, the expectations, are there, and that's something that, you know, that's exciting for me.
How do you deal with that in a positive fashion? Because in Boston, I know because I worked there, from a media standpoint and a fan standpoint, things can get negative real quick. And if it doesn't go well, people are ready to kind of lurch at you. But you always seem to keep an even keel and a positive outlook. How did you do that?
Honestly, the way that I did that was not reading anything or not listening to anything, but just really locking into the team, the things that I needed to do. And it's one of those things that you appreciate the interest, the fans care genuinely about their teams. And for me, it's one of those things that I'm not going to, you know, let negativity, you know, affect me. So I kind of let the work on the court kind of take care of itself. And my focus, for example, in Boston was always, you know, trying to help the team win and put us in the best positions that we could. And obviously we weren't able to accomplish the things we wanted to, but I felt like, you know, I gave everything I had and we won probably not the championships we wanted to, but we did win the years that I was there.
Al Horford, our guest this morning on the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio. But isn't that hard to avoid all the outside commentary? I mean, how do you just make sure you don't ever have the radio on? Do you make sure you're just never online on some type of sports website? I mean, how can you possibly, you know, be so far removed from it when it's around you all the time?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. I mean, eventually maybe some things will slip up, but that you would hear or see something here and there. Maybe an actual media member will bring something up. But as far as me looking for things or trying to listen, I just try not to, just because, you know, I just learned that I do better that way, you know, just focusing on the team, on the things that I need to do, focusing on my family, things like that. So I honestly felt like I did as good as a job as I've done, you know, my time in Boston, just focusing on the team.
Let's talk some X's and O's here. You will play alongside Joel Embiid, one of the best centers in the game. How does spacing on the floor work? How will your role fit in with his role when you're both on the floor together?
I think the spacing is going to be just fine. You know, I believe that, you know, we as long as we're in the right positions on offense, I think we'll be good. One of the strengths that we both have, actually, not only me, is that we can both shoot the three ball. We can post. So, you know, when he's posting, I'll be in the perimeter and vice versa. And you know, I do believe that it's going to be good because, you know, I feel like I can guard multiple positions and kind of be put at where I'm needed most.
Al Horford joins us from the Philadelphia 76ers. You've got two really young cornerstone players on this roster with Embiid and Ben Simmons. And they've been very young, and some might say a little green around the ears coming into this, you know, as their superstardom. Do you sense a seriousness about them this preseason and this offseason going into the year?
Everything that I've seen from them has been positive. I do sense that they've been here working hard, trying to do things the right way, very professional. So everything that I've seen has been great. I've been very encouraged by it, and it's one of those things that we're going to continue to take steps as this year goes on together as a group. But they. Even though they're younger, they're already leading in many ways that I have seen.
You know, Kyrie Irving took responsibility for how last year unfolded in Boston. You obviously left in free agency. Was last year, now that you look back, a difficult year behind the scenes?
You know, I don't think that the blame can be placed just on one person. I think that we all had to do with it. You know, it was a disappointing year. There's no question about it. We had extremely high expectations and, unfortunate because things didn't turn out how we wanted them. And we could never, you know, get to the level that we wanted to. So definitely very disappointed about last year's team.
Why'd you choose Philly?
When I looked at what they have here and what they're building and having a chance to play alongside Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons was something that really got my attention. You know, I'm in the stage of my career where, you know, I want to make sure that I have, that I'm playing my best basketball and that I'm putting myself in the best position to win a championship. And I believe that this was the best opportunity for me.
Al Horford joins us this morning on the show, and Al is partnering with Built with Chocolate Milk and a local organization in Philly, El Concilio, to bring a basketball clinic to a local high school. And you've always made it a priority to give back to the communities that you've played in. Why is this one important today for you?
It's important. Like you said, I everywhere that I've been, I've always wanted to make a difference. I wanted my presence felt in the community. And here in Philadelphia, that's one of the things I wanted to do right away, especially in the Hispanic community. There's a large population here. And I wanted to make sure to come out and to support them. And with this clinic today, it's encouraging the kids, teaching them some fundamentals about the game and just starting to build my presence here in Philadelphia.
Al Horford joining us this morning on the show. Once again, he's helping hold a basketball clinic today in Philly with Built with Chocolate Milk. It is always good to catch up with you, Al. Thanks so much for doing it, and hopefully we can catch up again during the season.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
You got it. My pleasure. Al Horford joining us this morning on the show. You know, we have kind of a routine here on the show, a tradition where if we talk about food or something to drink, we automatically all need to go eat it or drink it. And this happened last week or 2 weeks ago when we kept playing the Hurricane Gen Bite Goodenburgers. And three out of the four of us on the show immediately ate hamburgers for either lunch or dinner.
Where you can get good burgers.
And I wonder if the same thing is going to happen with the chocolate milk, because when we mentioned yesterday during the pre-show meeting that we were going to have Al Horford on, and he always promotes chocolate milk, immediately I thought back to when you brought in the Nesquik, we all chugged chocolate milk.
No, it got sent to us.
Oh, it got sent to us. That's right. And so we had a bunch of chocolate milk gulping going on right after Al Horford, and then Pete the Body Bilotti yesterday said, I need some chocolate milk. I really want chocolate milk. Did you ever end up getting it?
I did not, no. And this happened the other day as well with our caller friend, the Cowboy fan, about the tacos.
That's right. Yes, the tacos.
Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Now, of course, that quote from Charles, the Cowboys fan, is he's saying make tackles. That Jimmy Johnson wants you to make tackles. But we heard tacos. Okay, because
I only hear tacos.
Because, and once you hear it as tacos, it no longer even sounds like tackles. It only sounds like tacos.
Tacos.
And honestly, yesterday, in all honesty, I am watching the Yankees Astros game, and dinner time is coming up. The Bourbon Bell is out of town. I said, you know what? Instead of cooking tonight, I'll just order out what I'm going to. And I'm on Seamless, and I'm scrolling through the app, and I'm looking for, who knows, whatever is looking good. And every taco joint was immediately glowing in neon light to me. I'm like, God, tacos. Yeah, tacos. Yeah, I got it.
Tacos.
Like tacos. Sushi? No. Italian? No. Fine. Tacos sounds really, really, really good. And eventually, because we kept playing, I think, the taco soundbite, I ordered tacos last night.
As long as you're making tacos, I love you.
I mean, who else here has been caught with the taco thing?
I'm making them tonight. I have ground chicken, shells, and everything ready to go tonight. That is my plan.
My wife didn't know anything about that caller, and she made tacos last night.
Do you think that is by osmosis, because now you have tacos on the brain so that she has tacos on the brain?
I think that's exactly why.
That's how deep their love is. I also had chocolate milk yesterday morning after remembering that Al Horford was coming on.
Mikey tweets, clearly Doug Marrone wasn't making tacos anymore. Hashtag, I don't love you no more.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Doug Marrone and his tiff with Jalen Ramsey leading to Jalen Ramsey holding out and then eventually being traded yesterday to the Rams.
Tacos.
Oh, tacos are so good.
I wish he was saying tacos.
Why?
He is.
No, but now I can... Now I only hear tackles. Now it's like ruined in my head.
No. You could
in
only
my
hear,
head.
You could only hear tacos.
He also Jimmy Johnson said, as long as you're making tacos, I love you.
On a side note, it also sounds exactly like Karl Malone to me.
Here's Karl Malone on the state of tackling in the NFL.
As long as you're making tacos, I love you. As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
And that's Karl Malone.
Here is
John Stockton.
Here's Karl Malone, the mailman, on Bar Rescue.
As soon as you don't make no tacos, I don't love you no more.
Does he still drive an 18-wheeler? Because can't you see him calling in while he's driving cross-country in his big rig?
Good, that's good.
When we come back here on the show, is Marcus Mariota ever going to be a starting quarterback again? He's not starting this weekend for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill is... DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
I'm sick of the Dallas Cowboys. If they see you at McDonald's, they shouldn't even want to serve you. Say, you're the one gave us them 6 packs. We ain't got no more food.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Tacos? 40 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio each and every day, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. And full episodes are available on iTunes, radio.com, CBSSportsRadio.com, or other places podcasts are available, Stitcher, etc. If you listen to podcasts and you want to listen to the DA show daily on the reg, you got it. Full episodes are available there.
Tacos.
Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Uh-oh, SpaghettiOs. Uh-oh, Mariota. Marcus has been benched for the upcoming game for the Tennessee Titans, and this just might be the end of Mariota starting at all for the Titans. He's in the final year of his contract, and Mike Vrabel and company making the decision that Ryan Tannehill will now start. Now, could this be a one-week situation? I suppose if Tannehill is that bad, then yes. I suppose if Tannehill is that ugly and the Titans' offense is that terrible and they're looking for a spark and Tannehill does not give it to them, I guess the answer is yes, that Mariota could come back. But next up is the Chargers. And if Tannehill does anything, I mean anything worthwhile, it's going to be his job. And this really underscores the end of the line for the Titans' patience with Mariota. Look, the Titans had every reason to make Mariota work. Okay? And it's not just on Mariota's shoulders. He's had multiple schemes and multiple offensive coordinators and an offense that is a lot of play action and rarely kind of wants to take advantage of his wide-open spread offense base that he had at Oregon. And who knows, had he played in a more creative offense drafted by a different organization, maybe Mariota would have been more high-flying, more creative, more effective. But the fact is the Titans wanted to make this work because they invested a first-round draft pick in him, the number two pick overall. And they, like a lot of teams, have been searching for a franchise QB for a long time. But this was year number five, and there were moments over the course of Mariota's career where he looked the part. And they had some good success, and they went at least 9-7, made the playoffs, went to Arrowhead, won that game on the road against the Chiefs in the playoffs. They wanted this to work, and they probably stuck with Mariota too long because the last 2 weeks were so ungodly awful that they were forced into this, that there was no other place to turn to, knowing that if you make the
the switch, you probably never go back. Now, if Tannehill again is bad, could he end up losing the job and they bring Mariota back in 3 weeks and they're doing some type of will they, won't they? I suppose. I mean, it's bad coaching if you do that. But what this says is Mariota ain't getting a big extension in the offseason for the Titans. You don't go to Ryan Tannehill in October with any realistic expectation that the guy you just benched is your future franchise QB. By the time Mariota was benched, do you realize he was 7 of 18 for 63 yards and 2 interceptions? 63 yards and 2 picks in the third quarter. The Titans would end up getting shut out the week before they scored just 7 points. I have to say, the Mariota thing is weird that he's this bad, because Mariota worked an offense that put up tons of points in college. I mean, Chip Kelly's blur at Oregon was just absolutely insane. And it continued for the first couple of years under Helfrich as well. That offense put up crazy numbers. Also, Mariota, I have to imagine, is really well respected inside that locker room because he never points fingers. He's a good team guy. He owns the mistakes. He wears it. He's also incredibly coachable. He never complains about the offense, complains about how many passes are thrown, complains about his targets, complains about his options. He never does that. He is a guy that constantly wants to be better. He has proven that much. He cares. And he's got natural athleticism. I mean, that much is obvious. It is weird that it's this bad. But Mariota has descended. He has gone downward. His effectiveness is less today than it ever was in his NFL career. And the Titans have to make a change. Will he ever become a starter again? I would never say never because he's young. I mean, he's 26 years old, so I'm sure at some point in time he's going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL, but that might happen because of injury. That might happen for a one game off. I mean, look, Ryan Tannehill just took Marcus Mariota's job. Who's to say Marcus Mariota one day down the line doesn't take one of the rookie quarterbacks that are coming out of the draft, you know? I can absolutely see Mariota being a backup for a long time because he cares. He's a good film room guy. He's a good veteran guy. He's going to coach you up, help you. You know, Jameis, I don't know about all of that. Jameis has never been the crazy study, do the right thing, be the ultimate veteran in the locker room or the film room. You know, that's just the maturity has always been the question. How often he kind of takes chances. I mean, but then again, Ryan Fitzpatrick has been around forever. So could Jameis be Ryan Fitzpatrick, where he kind of bounces around team to team and somebody lets him throw 40 times a game and, you know, there's a couple of wins there under his belt? Could be. But I could see Mariota being a Hasselbeck, where he's just always in the NFL but never quite, again, a starting quarterback. I could see that. I don't think at 26 years old you could ever say he's never going to start again. That seems impossible. But he's never going to be the guy that you say, cornerstone, solution, we got it. And in today's NFL, that is more important than ever to have the, we got that figured out, and now we flesh out the rest of the roster. Forevermore, Marcus Mariota is going to be a question mark at quarterback. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. A lot of you guys seem to enjoy the picture of Mraz wearing the Todaro Pizza t-shirt from Clemson. Chuck tweets, Mraz looks like a giant cheese ball with arms and legs.
Oh, okay.
That's too easy.
Sean tweets, orange, definitely your color, Mraz. DJ Tommy tweets, did you guys go pumpkin picking? If Mraz went to Home Depot, people would ask him questions about where stuff is.
Cheese balls.
By the way, ban him from going to any Yankees game. They never win with him in attendance. Get him out. Is that true? Are you 0 for going to see them?
No, that's not true. Yesterday was my second loss of the year. I think it was 8-2 on the year.
Get him out.
I like how you're keeping your own personal record.
Well, you have to. You have to know if you're a jinx or not.
Do you have to?
You do have to.
Senor Pantleg tweets, so Mraz can't remember that the Clemson Tigers mascot is not a bear, but he damn sure remembers where that promotional chocolate milk came from last year.
A cow? For the record, I knew the Clemson Tiger was a tiger. I didn't know the pizza man was a tiger, not a bear.
Well, I don't know. I don't have the t-shirt in front of me, but doesn't said bear have stripes and a long tail?
Bears have long tails, and the face is a smushed-in bear nose. It looks like a bear.
Did you just say bears have long tails?
Yeah, you ever see a bear?
I have.
They got a tail. All the animals have the tails.
All the animals have the tails.
Except the ones in the zoo. They probably, I'm assuming, they cut them off or something.
Oh, my God. You think that the bears in the zoo have had their long tails cut off?
Probably if they escape, you can identify that they're not just wilderness ones. They're in the zoo. You guys are laughing, and it's probably true. There's got to be a reason they do that.
Well, did you ever think that maybe they don't cut the tails off of bears, and bears just actually naturally have short tails?
So they have tails.
Well, they're little stub tails. They're not long tiger tails.
Oh, no, those are just the big bear. The polar bears have tails, I think.
Is that right?
Or the grizzly bears. There's bears with tails.
Those grizzly bears.
Oh.
Hey.
You guys know what I mean.
No, grizzly bears and polar bears don't have any tails.
I got that polar bear with the tail over here.
Look, the point is this supposed tiger has a bear's face more. You're focusing on the tail.
Okay.
So Todoro might make a good slice. They make a pretty crummy tiger.
So lost.
He even got bear legs.
Hey, I just saw a bear outside my back porch over here.
Got a giant tail.
Long tail over here. Oh. Those grizzly bears.
There are definitely bears with long tails.
Smushed face bear.
Oh.
You got the Goldilocks bears. You got the long tail bears.
Got the three bears.
The three bears and the smushed face bears.
The Berenstein bears. Oh.
Hey, the Chicago bears, okay? I know bears over here.
Why are you so convinced a tiger has a longer tail than a bear to begin with?
I know animal anatomy.
When was the last time you went face-to-face with a tiger? You tell me.
I don't need to go face-to-face with a tiger to know that a tiger has a long tail and a bear doesn't.
You need to do some own personal research. I've been to the safari at Six Flags.
And you've seen long tails on bears?
I had to have, yes. No, I had to have.
Now you're questioning it.
No, I saw the bears with the tails.
Is that right?
And I'm not convinced the tigers have a long tail. The lions have it.
Oh, so
the
now,
lions have
now,
the tail.
Okay, so now we're at the point where bears definitely have long tails and tigers might not.
Yeah, I just think that you're so convinced because you read a couple books that suddenly you know you're watching the Nat Geo channel. Suddenly you know what you're talking about. I've gone into the wilderness there. I've seen it.
Yeah, you've gone to the Six Flags Safari.
That's the wilderness. That's not a zoo because you have to stay in your car. That's how dangerous it is.
And you remember tigers with short tails and bears with long tails.
Definitely the bears with the long tails. I'm trying to think of the tigers now. And they are scary looking animals. You don't want to look for too long in the eyes. I can jump on your windshield.
I just want to see him teach Taylor all this.
Yeah, what is your... I mean, Danielle will step in real quick. As soon as Taylor ever says, Mommy, Daddy, do tigers have long tails? I mean, immediately Danielle's going to be like, yes, and bears have short tails. Never forget that.
I bet you my wife would have no idea right now.
Come on.
No chance.
Come on.
Not a chance.
You think Danielle thinks bears have long tails?
And tiger, I bet you if you asked her, does a bear have a tail, she would say yes.
Odd. Think about a tiger. Think about...
think about it.
In your world of sports, think about the Clemson Tiger mascot swinging around his tail behind him, okay? Think about that.
Yeah, I understand. I've seen Tony the Tiger.
Exactly.
I like a Frosted Flake.
Think about Frosted Flakes. Tony the Tiger has a tail on that box.
So what? You see what aliens look like when we draw them? They're green. How do we know? They could look like us. You don't know.
What argument is that?
Because you're going off a cartoon character, not the real thing.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
You are so out to lunch on this.
What?
Probably out to lunch at Todoro's Pizza.
Did you have a lobotomy? What happened to your brain? You're arguing.
Just saying, the thing looks like a bear, and you're making me dig a hole. It's a bear.
And your argument is that maybe we draw Tony the Tiger like an alien because we don't know what tigers look like.
I just think it's obviously an over-exaggerated reflection. That's great.
Oh, my God.
Okay, how long have you been on the air, D.A.?
That was horrible.
Oh, God. 855. I mean, that qualifies for 12 D.A.s. It has to.
We're running out of room.
Top five ever, baby.
Yeah, we really... 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'm sure you have some thoughts on bears and tigers and tails, oh my, and Dr. Jacques Mraz Cousteau. When we come back here on the show, are the Rams with this big trade trying to sell a stadium? The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.